Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is
Hello.
Hi. Now, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, everybody. It is Tuesday. I think it's the 17th, right? Or the 18th. Can't keep up with the days, but it is the Tuesday in April in 2017, and we'd like to welcome everyone to the call tonight. Dr. Lolly and our guests from Canada and the United States, and we have a great program lined up for you with information that will help educate you and your families on how to stay safe in your homes, in your communities, in your states abroad, and wherever you travel. Dr. Lolly, are you with us, dear?
I'm here, Ida. Welcome, everyone, and thank you for interrupting your busy schedule to be on the call tonight. I have had an amazing week in the world of environmental health. 1 week ago, we were on the Carl Nelson show on Radio 1, which is syndicated around the world. And to my surprise, in Washington, D.C., there was a conference convening of EMTs, emergency medical personnel, and paramedics. And they were listening in on the show. One of them began to, she said she just became breathless. She held her breath because at the conference, they were talking about the effects of electromagnetic radiation on health. And then here she was listening in to the Carl Nelson show and hearing our show. I was on the show with a developer from, real estate developers from Atlanta. And we were talking about the dynamics of converting your house and reducing indoor toxins. And the big question was, is your house making you sick? Well, this paramedic began to tell me how many families are calling in for emergency intervention because their kids are going ballistic, they're going off the chart. She said the kids are not on drugs. They're not doing anything out of the ordinary, but these normal, respectful kids transform into like demons from hell. And when they go into these homes, there's all this electronics, there's all this Wi-Fi, and they had just had a breakout session about, is so much electronics affecting the neurotransmitters of the brain and making these people ballistic and raging? And the conclusion at the conference was, yes, it is, but we don't know what to do about it. We don't know what the intervention might be. And so she had me on a call yesterday where we were discussing with what would be the future. What are the interventions? Because she said, not only is it happening in my community, it's happening in my house. And she said, some of the things going on with my teenage son, he was raised right. He was a mild-mannered child. Soon as we put in all this Wi-Fi, he turned into like a demon from hell. He left and went to college and came back somebody we don't know. And so there's now some intentional thought. It's moving into the core of healthcare organizations that, yes, people's houses are making them sick, and, yes, electromagnetic radiation may be a culprit, the invisible culprit that nobody has speculated that it can do what it can do to wreak havoc in your home. Thank you for tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Dr. Rhoda Zion Alali. I'm a registered nurse, and I am a scholar in residence at the Center for Health Equity and Urban Science Education at Columbia University Teachers College in New York City. I'm on a mission. Somebody called me Missio. Missio means an apostle who was sent to the earth as a messenger from God. And I have one simple message. Get your head off the wall and unplug unnecessary electronics in your house. And know your numbers. Know what your radiation numbers are. If they're above 40, if your microsurge in your electrical system is above 40, then get a health practitioner, a health physicist in your home who can evaluate and mitigate to save your family's life. This is a special week going forward because the world is celebrating the birthday of Coretta Scott King, the wife of the late Dr. Martin Luther King, whose birthday is the 27th day of April. So on Thursday, the world is celebrating her birthday. She was an environmentalist and one of the first civil rights activists to talk about environmental racism and to advocate to stop for massive dumping of chemicals in minority and poor communities. She was one of the first advocates to talk about the health disparities coming from sustained exposure to environmental toxins. And back then, there really wasn't that much discussion about cell phone towers and power transformers. Who knew that they could cause leukemia? Who knew that they could make people bipolar and schizophrenic? Who knew that the assault of electromagnetic dynamics could create blood disorders that you can't even imagine? Or you can sit up, be sitting on your couch, watching television with the couch within 3 feet of a wall, and all of a sudden your arm just come out of socket because your muscles have offloaded so many minerals necessary to keep the muscle contracted and your bone engaged in the socket. There are some amazing stories that I have heard beyond sustained exposure or about sustained exposure to high electromagnetic fields. And Coretta Scott King was not a scientist. She was not an environmental scientist. She was aspiring to be an opera singer. She was a profound singer. She was a profound worshiper. She was a profound psalmist. And when she married the late Dr. Martin Luther King, she said she didn't just marry him, she married his vision. And she worked shoulder to shoulder, hand in hand, to bring equality to every human being. One of his favorite lines, quoting from the U.S. Constitution, was, "We were all created equal." And there's some relevant truth in that. Because if you are living and breathing, it is because you were created by the Most High God. So I invite all of you this week, if you have a granddaughter or a son or a child or a youth, to gather around the table and talk about the legacy of people who loved us enough to move us forward, that sacrificed their lives. What was so amazing about Coretta Scott King was she lived in the face of danger. She was like a female David. If you go to the Bible and you study the history and the legacy of David, you know he lived in the face of death. I mean, what parent sends their teenage child out to live in the fields at night and shepherd the sheep, knowing good and well they would have to fight bears and wolves and maybe even lions? And that was David's life. Here he was a teenager. Theologians said he averaged his age was about 16 when he was called. He was anointed to be the king of Israel. And it's so amazing because you study his life, he was always in the fear of death. Somebody always wanted to kill him. Somebody always wanted to take him out. We had the author of the memoirs of Coretta Scott King, My Life, My Love, My Legacy, by the New York Times, was on our radio show about a month ago. She uses our technology. She engaged us to mitigate her house, her office, and to build a custom system for her glasses that discharges static. When I read the memoir that she wrote, Dr. Barbara Reynolds, I was really taken back because when Coretta Scott King was a child, they were always doing things. The Ku Klux Klan and racist white people were always doing things to her family. Her family owned a store. They were always burning it down, burning down their homes, taunting them, tormenting them. And they would rebuild in the same place. They lived with the anxiety of having people, white people, strip them of their resources. And they could not gain wealth because as a child, she lost her doll babies were burnt up. Her clothing was burnt. She had great loss as a child. She was greatly violated as a child. Her family was violated as a child due to racism. And that's probably the only reason why she had the emotional fortitude to walk beside Martin Luther King. Because I don't know about you guys, but when you're in love with somebody that's in the heat, in the center of it, in the heat of it all, and they got people coming after them to kill them, to destroy them, to put them in jail, to conspire against them, you know, who wants to stay with a person like that? The average woman would have been out the door, dropped the T-shirt and the bag, and said later. I mean, while Martin Luther King was in jail, they bombed her house with three small children in there. They said, we're going to take you out, we're going to kill you and your children. What kind of love empowers a woman to stay with a man when they're trying to take him out and they will take you and your children out with them? And our commitment was, nothing will separate me from loving you. Even when they conspired against him and made all these sex tapes and said he was screwing all these women and sent Coretta Scott King all these sex tapes and alleged photos of him being an adulteress and all these things that they did. She said, my commitment to you is to the end of time, our time together, until death do us part. She took her covenant as if it was sacred, and he was concerned about the quality of the environment of humanity, especially African-American people and Appalachian poor people. And she made it her concern. She made it the passion that drove her. And so in this environmental movement that we have, we can take time to celebrate her legacy. The legacy of Coretta Scott King. And so I invite all of you, go down to the grocery store, pick up some cupcakes, grab a birthday card, have the children sign it, to celebrate the birthday of Coretta Scott King and send it to the King Center in Atlanta, Georgia, which is run by her only living daughter, Dr. Bernice King. Take pictures of the birthday party that you have for Coretta Scott King. Okay, so you don't have no children in school? Invite your neighbors into your backyard. Put some music on. Read a paragraph or a chapter from Coretta Scott King. In fact, the audio book is out now. Felicia Ray Shaw, the actress that starred on the Bill Cosby Show and the numerous Disney projects, films and movies in Hollywood. She is the reader in the audiobook. And, you know, she has a tremendous voice. She's professionally trained in theater, and she brings the rhythm, she brings the heartbeat to the book to make you feel the rhythm of Coretta Scott King's life. So bring some friends over. Order the audiobook. You can get it delivered the next day. It may even be in your library. I was down in a little country town, 7,000 people, and was blown away. We went into the library with my granddaughter. She asked about the book, and voila, the book had been delivered the day before. So here was these memoirs in the middle of a cornfield. They're available everywhere. The book came out in January. The audio book came out in February, and it's available. join the world in celebrating one of the first environmental safety champions, Coretta Scott King. And then we can shift to Congress. Everybody write this down. The Environmental Education Foundation. The Environmental Health, Education Foundation. The Environmental Health Education Foundation was commissioned by Congress to educate kindergartners through 12th grade, students that were in kindergarten all the way through to the 12th grade high school, about how to preserve the integrity of a healthy environment. There are lessons, if you go to the website, this is a foundation commissioned by Congress, you can download all the lesson plans that they have. You can get the schools in your community registered to participate in these national activities. Because unless we give the children the responsibility to preserve the health of our environment, both on the outside of our homes and the inside of our homes, unless we prioritize it for them, unless we guide them into the truth that a healthy environment creates a healthy life. If we have a sick environment, these massive challenges that we have will continue to be perpetual, and they will destroy us such that mothers will and fathers will not be able to live long enough to even raise their children. And children may not be able to live long enough to even engage their dreams. I went to a fashion show 1 month ago where 40 children walked a runway, a fashion runway, to represent 40 children that were facing terminal illness and would not live to see the age of 12. I don't know about you, but I'm deeply disturbed by that. That our children are fighting these big, giant, huge battles against cancer and asthma and seizures because it's environmental toxins, because of the high electromagnetic fields and the high industrial chemicals that are converging inside of their homes and taking their lives. We can do something about it by continuing to stand, continuing to knock on doors and survey homes, continuing to do what we do, being angels of the light, sharing education, sharing safety information so that families can live and love and be joyous and not die. I heard Israel Mann come on the line. She was on the show with me, with Carl Nelson, last week.
Hello.
Hey, Israel, thank you for joining us tonight.
And thank you for inviting me.
Well, I, you know, you have become such a great cheerleader of this movement. But you were in the home, an executive home with me last week, where we retrofitted the home of a family. And the father was talking about how, you know, the children were like, it was like there was an aggression in them that was unfounded when they moved in this new fabulous house. And he said what he noticed within 24 hours was how the peace that came over his home and the fellowship and how the house de-aggressed. You want to share a little bit about that, this house we did in Atlanta, that you came
sure.
to the house?
Yeah, there's a possibility that Stan, he may be on the line right now. I don't know if he is or not.
Hey, Mr. Steele, did you do it?
Mr. Steele, are you on the line?
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, that's wonderful.
I'm
so glad. I am so glad we have you on this line. Because the paramedic called in to tell me she heard us on Radio 1 with Carl Nelson. She said, Dr. Lally, there are massive families that are experiencing what you and your guests were sharing about children being so aggressive and inappropriate and and with lack of, you know, social etiquette, social skills, social the word I'm trying to look for, and it comes to me. I've been on the highway 14 hours today. But anyway, can you just share a little
social
testimony
restraint.
About how you thought? I'm sorry, what did you say, Israel?
Social restraint.
Yeah, social restraint. About how you saw the transformation in your house to peace. It was like a harmony came within 2 hours.
Oh, yeah. It was amazing. I mean, I'm still amazed every day. You know, you're talking about the kids. Yeah, I have two teenage sons, and they've always been great kids. You know, I never had problems with them as far as their behavior or anything, you know. And we built this house about a year and a half ago. And with a few months, well, not even that long, let's put it in short order, I started to notice their motivation seemed to have kind of slipped a little. It was just kind of out of the blue. There had been no major life events or family events. You know, we were just kind of, you know, just moving right along. And I noticed that this behavior began to worsen. It got worse. And I attempted to confront it in various different ways just to try and, you know, resolve and maintain peace within my family. And so when I met you, Dr. A, and you were telling me about the impact of EMFs on people, and things of that nature, it clicked, like, right in there, you know. And so we talked a few times, and, you know, I became, you know, this raving fan of, you know, the technology that you brought into the world, you know, that you birthed, that God blessed you with to be the, you know, the vessel for. And I was just like, look, I found out you were coming to town, and I said, well, you know, you got to do my house. You know, I don't even know what your plans are. We got to get my house done. I don't know if you recall that, but you were gracious enough to, you know, kind of, you know, put together, you know, everything and, you know, get my house as a notice, you know, immediately. You know, really, it was the same night.
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing because we were sitting there. I have told the story of you breathing at least 20 times. I said we were sitting there. It wasn't even 10 minutes because we put the Soli in the windows. And you were like, I can breathe. I can breathe. And I'm like, okay. You know, and you don't understand. My nose was clogged. I was only breathing out of one nair of my nose. And when you start howling, you could breathe. And then we put the two by two W's in the panels with the Soli relays, and all of a sudden the lights started modulating brighter. You really started getting happy. It was just so amazing to see your response to this technology transform your house. And 24 hours later, not even 24 hours later, when we came back, it was like the peace of God. Hold on one second, man. The peace of God was in your house in such a way that you could not deny the presence of peace and joy. And so you want to just share that a little bit? Are you still there? Hello?
I don't know if he is or not. But I was there, and I was an eyewitness of it, and definitely there was a definite shift because when I would go over to Mr. Steele's house and we would have our meetings there, the house was dark. I mean, he had all these lights.
I'm sorry,
I'm sorry, can you repeat yourself?
I said go ahead. I'm trying to multitask here. Go ahead.
But he has all these lights in his house, right? You know, just lights everywhere. Because it's like a $250,000 home, something like that. And so, you know, it's one of those new kind of fashionable homes with lots of different mood lightings and things like that. Like, his kitchen in particular has at least 8 to 10 different lights in there. And it was dark. I mean, it was, like, not very bright at all. As soon as she put the final units in the on the electrical panel, we start seeing the lights in the room brighten up. The whole room became a whole different hue of light. It became a whole different hue of light. And one of their sons, when I would see him, he would walk around with this dark cloud. Like, it was like a cloud or something over this boy. And the last time that I saw him, it was the next day after the install was done. He just looked like this happy little kid. Well, his countenance was totally different. And I was just blown away. I really was. I literally was blown away just by that, because there was just such heaviness on this child. And it was just gone. You know, it was literally just gone.
It was tremendous to see the transformation in this family and the happiness of this father, and now to have this experience affect the whole nation. It just, and so it's just amazing to see. Listen, I want to hear, I got an email from Rod from Canada. Rod, would you mind sharing with everyone the miracle that you experienced up there? And I apologize for the background noise. I'm on travel. And I have to speak at a university, so I'm trying to get myself situated before things close here. And it just so happened that the radio show, we were 2 hours late getting here, and so I apologize for the background noise, but I've got to multitask while I'm trying to direct this. And I want to hear all these testimonies that came in this week. So, Rob, can you share with us your testimony?
Yeah, sure, no problem. Doc, the background noise doesn't really bother us or bother me that much. But as you know, it was time after about just under a year to go and change the harmonics in Lynn's house. And Lynn, for everybody on the line, is a 49-year-old woman suffering from secondary progressive multiple sclerosis. A year ago, it had been more than 3 years that she was able to move her legs, move her feet, move her toes, feel anything below that, below her waist. And within about 4 months, she felt her toes moving, her feet moving. About another 4 months later, she felt her legs moving. She felt more energy in her legs. And, you know, one thing I wanted to do was to get there to her home before everything, all the harmonics expired. And, you know, I also had to test her home for radon gas again because my meter failed just after the first time I tested her house. So I figured, you know, we looked, she shares custody with 6 kids. So you want to choose the week or the activity in the basement, because that's where their bedrooms are, is very quiet, very tranquil. So today, Easter Monday was the best date. Believe it or not, a lot of the kids showed up because it was the week for the father to have custody. They showed up for their Easter gift. And so we went through a whole slew of things, but even her sister, who's about 9 years younger, was there trying to help her. And she suffers from, or she's been diagnosed as MS, but she's got an eye problem. Okay, here we go. And so I dealt with Lynn first, and following Dr. A's instructions, I went and replaced all the harmonics. And, you know, it was very important that I would monitor Lynn's reaction, because Dr. A also wanted me to have her wear a much stronger battery on her spine. And Doctor, I don't know if you remember, but she also suffers from scoliosis. So, you know, I didn't mind having her wear a QW battery, which, believe me, you know, it'll do your water system, it'll do your power system. So when we're talking about that, it's a strong one. But
yeah, that's Dr. Bianca's protocol. She used the Q-tip so that she could walk with a bulging disc because she was in severe pain and she was crawling. So she recommended.
Yeah, why not?
It's just amazing.
Well, the one thing that Lynn is very much for is she does not mind testing. She does not mind experimenting. And that's beautiful. But so I had her sister put the QW at the base of her spine. Well, I was outside replacing the Q 2x3 and then downstairs in the basement changing everything. And, you know, I spoke to Lynn this morning just to make sure everything was okay in the house. And everything was perfect. She tried to sleep with the QW. She felt that actually the edges of the QW were into her back, so she took it off in the middle of the night, which is okay. She'll get used to it. But after I had finished the installation, we sat at the table, and her sister, Annie, who's 9 years younger, who's got a restricted driver's license, because she had an eye that would make her dizzy. So Annie could only drive during daylight.
Which eye was it? Did she say which eye it was?
Yeah, left eye. The left one. And so because she's got, how should I say, smaller fingers than I do, I gave her, and again we used aluminum tape. So she took a micro nano, and her glasses were perfect because micro nano on the left arm of the glass frames, and put a piece of aluminum tape over it. But the beauty is that the arm towards the front near the lens was wide enough for the complete micro nano to sit on. So she put it on.
Wow. So you were able to get a micro nano on her glasses?
Pardon?
You were able to get the EGB, the micro nano, on her glasses, on her frame?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
You know, because the frame was, the arm towards where the lens is, was wide enough that it accommodated the micro nano very easily. And so we used aluminum tape, which I figured, not a bad idea. It'll amplify it. And I would guess within about an hour, her dizziness from her eyesight stopped. So in other words,
wow,
that's
huge.
Oh, I know. You know, and she was, I guess what we call here in Quebec, a Tama, or Tama's in Quebec is known for being somebody, you know, prove it to me without any doubt. And that was before, and that's with her sister showing that she could move her, you know, her feet. So, you know, she'll be there at her sister's this Thursday when I go and pick up the radon tester, and I'm going to talk to her, and I'm going to see what she's doing. Because that woman might finally be able to live a better life and eventually get her restricted driver's license eliminated.
Wow, that is so huge, Rod. Thank you for your innovation, man. I mean, I wouldn't even think about putting aluminum tape, but I know that's your signature line up there. You illumine all that stuff.
Oh, we're not finished? Then Lynn's got a total of 8 children, and 6 are still at home. And she's got one daughter of 14 who last winter or last fall had some friends that, you know, took one of Lynn's flat batteries and cut it in half, and wherever the battery ended up, nobody knows. But very nice girl, very polite. I guess knowing that what her mother has gone through, she was there at her mom's place, first time I've met her, and she took a liking. She wanted to know more about what your invention does. And, you know, we had to go 30 feet outside the house because I'd already redone the house.
Wow. That is huge.
She was there with her boyfriend, so he's probably 15 or 16. He wanted to be tested. So I tested them both. I showed them both with the impact, the negative impact of a cell phone does to your body. And they were amazed. And it also happened to be her time of the month. So the cramps were building up. And so
how was her pain? Did she have menstrual cramps?
I don't know. There were so many people around. I will find out easily next this Thursday. But, I mean, before we went outside to say, let me go show you how this thing works, what this technology does, she had it on her stomach. Because I guess she, you know, was in the process.
Wow.
Because, you see, Lynn... the helper, when I called her the previous Thursday, did not remove the soli from the window. So I couldn't do the test that I wanted to do in the home to begin with. So once I redid all the harmonics, then I texted the daughter with the cell phone, and she was rocked, and it had no flat battery on it. She wasn't wearing it. She was solid. So then she took the half Q1 that was on her mother's wheelchair and put that on her stomach. And we took that outside and tested her. And she was amazed at how easily she failed the tests. Likewise with her boyfriend. And then,
wow.
Because we also want to test if the half Q1 was still good. And it was. So I said, put this back on your stomach. And so, you know, it was just an off chance meeting that I think, you know, you take a 14-year-old girl and a 16-year-old boy. And I think to try and educate the youngsters, to me, that is the key. It's them on Facebook. And, Doctor, I don't know if you ever got the chance to look at the CBC Marketplace documentary about a month ago, whereby they show the way we wear the cell phones on our body is extremely dangerous. Because
I saw that. And Sandra Gupta in Cedars-Sinai Hospital in Los Angeles did a documentary also that's posted up on the Michi Health website. For those that are listening, you can go to michihealth.org and look at CNN, with Sanjay Gupta's new report on cell phones. We have it posted on the website.
Well, you know, it's one thing to try and sell the flat battery to somebody, but what Lynn and I'm sure Mario and I do, you know, we will warn people, you know, holding the cell phones in their back pockets. In the front pockets, I will be aggressive. And when I see it stuck in a bra, I will be aggressive. I will tell people, don't do it.
You are such an angel in the city of Montreal, Rod. We salute you and Lynn and Mario and Pierre. You are the heroes in Canada.
Well, we're not trying to be heroes. We just want people to know what, in our opinion, what the government, what Health Canada is not doing, which they should be doing. So this week, on Thursday, I'll go back to Lynn's. I will collect the radon gas monitor, mainly because all the children's bedrooms are in the basement. And, you know, it's been a lousy spring, so windows aren't open. So if there's a reading, I will find out. But, you know, The difference with Lynn compared to a year ago, give or take a week, is night and day. And this woman is motivated. She
absolutely. I'm so grateful that she came to visit me in August when we were up there for the conference. That was phenomenal. When she read that she had her life back, I was so humbled by that experience.
Well, Doc, you've done that to a number of people, and that's including Len's client, Brian, who lost both legs to diabetes. And, is, you know, if you think back, his diabetes was completely, totally out of control. And now the guy, he knows he burns through a flat battery in 6 months. And he knows that he needs a flat battery for the rest of his life. But at least he has a life.
So is he going back to the track field this summer? The last time he said he was returning to the world of professional car racing, even with his bilateral amputation.
Lynn said that, but I don't know if he's there yet. I mean, the guy finally realized in February that his flat battery was worrying him.
I tell you, Golden Crowd will step it up or not.
So, you know, he's got a lot to learn, but, you know, like Lynn, they have both come a very, very long way. And so they still got half the road to go, but at least they're on that road. So I hope for Brian he gets in a car and starts driving it again. But, you know, if it's not this year and it becomes a reality next year, that's okay. But at least he has a life. Without your device, no luck.
It's amazing. And, you know, I have so many people, naturopaths now, using the Brian's protocol. Using Brian's protocol. And it's working. People that are wearing it directly on the pancreas, they're having amazing results. Because as we often say, our disclaimer is the technology was never developed to treat, diagnose, prevent, or cure disease. But so many doctors are using it in their own private clinical trials to see if it will, in fact, reduce the discomfort and suffering of their patients. And they're winning. And they're winning, and they're documenting their results. And they're using this information. They listen in on Tuesday. And they ask and inquire about Brian. Brian has become, you know, he's become probably one of the most frequently inquired case studies that we review on this line. So you tell him that he's becoming a hero in the United States. And we're going to call the direct application of the technology to the pancreas the Brian protocol after him. So that's amazing. Are there any other testimonies on the line tonight?
Hey, can you hear me, Dr. A?
I can hear you perfect.
Okay, great. Hey, this is Stan again.
Stan, I'm so glad you came back so you can finish your testimony.
Yeah. I was here the whole time. I was listening to Rob. That was great information there. Wanted to ask real quick before I give my finish my testimony. What is the significance of putting the device over the pancreas?
That's a great question. Well, Brian was a bilateral amputee. He's a professional race car driver that lives in Canada. I was up there to speak at the Canadian, at the World Ecosphere, and he came to the hotel to this conference that we had. He didn't have any legs to put the technology on, no feet. And the electrophysicist from NASA, when we used the machine, it showed that the best place to put on the body was on the heel of the left foot. So then we tested him. We did a Bedore testing on him to find out where we could do it, you know, where we could put on the body. And so the most likely place was to put it directly over the pancreas, and the results were miraculous. If Lynn is on the line, he can tell you the results that happened to this man in 30 days. Lynn, are you on the line tonight?
No, he's not. But
Rod, can you just do a summation of what happened to Brian in 30 days?
Yeah. what happened is that basically his diabetes was totally out of control. Dr. A tested him in all her ways. And he had no control of his body. His hands were shaking. There was a cut on his left knuckle, or left hand on the knuckle, where it had been there over 3 years. And he was about to lose his hand. Doctors, perhaps in the next month or month and a half, were going to amputate it. He couldn't put his hand flat on a table. Lynn, and give the guy credit because he had the guts, sitting in a wheelchair. He wasn't going to show up for the conference, but he did. And he asked Dr. Lally a couple of questions. Dr. Lally called him up. She tested him. He failed every test. He was a mess. And I watched this. And I saw after the conference where Lynn put a flat battery on this guy's back. And if you want, I'll text message Dr. A, where Lynn took pictures of the cut on this guy's hand. And 5 days later, he took another picture, and the cut was healed, where it wouldn't heal for over 3 years. This thing, and everybody has to experiment where to put it on their body, where they feel the best relief, where they feel the best comfort.
Mm-hmm.
It works. It can help so many people. And Len's got another diabetic where the diabetes was, the blood sugar level was high, but not as high as Brian. Brian was taking 5 insulin shots a day. In January, he was finally down to 1 insulin shot per day. Mm-hmm. And now Len has the second one, where the blood sugar count was not high, but it wasn't normal. Wearing the flat battery, guess what? After 2 months, his blood sugar is normal. So, and the thing I'm fascinated by is that if you're diabetic, it's very easily documented. And to me, you don't need a clinical trial. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nurse. I'm an old banker. But the fact is that the documentation will prove how, if you don't need a clinical trial, it'll prove on an individual basis how successful it is. Because, you know, somebody with back pain, to say the back pain's gone, well, yeah, but where's the proof that it really existed? But being a diabetic, there's the proof. You were taking 5 injections per day. Now you're down to 1 6 months later. To me, it speaks for itself. And my dad was diabetic. That's it?
Well, you're correct, Rod, in a sense that why should you need a clinical trial when you have something that is consistent in proving its benefits? The reason, purpose of a clinical trial is because everybody is different. And what they want to see is how many people that it will be consistent in helping. Okay. How many people? Will it do that for five people, 5 out of 10, 9 out of 10, or 10 out of 10? That's the only reason why you do a clinical trial. And unfortunately, when you're dealing with something that's a non-pharmaceutical or non-chemical, they want to have documentation of that. The good news is, though, we found a way to get it registered in the world of naturopathic wellness, and we're in pursuit of that. I'll share a little bit more about that as time manifests. But I want to thank everybody for sharing tonight. Stan, does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. That's amazing. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's amazing.
It's amazing to hear so many miracles on this show every Tuesday. And again, I thank our chief engineer, our archangel, Jonathan Hill from South Carolina, and our co-host, Ida Morris, who by faith heard about the technology, heard about me, and said, I got to meet this lady. And from day A, from hour one, she has attached herself to me like an archangel. And together, the two of them bring our voice to the world every Tuesday night. And these kings in Canada who continue to investigate the technology and show me what to do and where to do and how they manipulate it, and they critique its application, and they have it on farms. They have it in mansions up there. They have it everywhere. And they're
in Lake Sioux.
I'm sorry, what did you say, Ron?
In a lake as well.
Yes, and even in lakes, and we're increasing the alkalinity of lakes using the technology to aid the health of the water systems up there. So it's just tremendous to see what the future holds, and I want to thank everybody for being. Go ahead.
Dr. A, real quick, I just wanted to say to Stan again, what I wanted to say was when your technician was testing the house, the radiation was highest in my son's room.
Yes. That was
higher than anywhere else in the house by a long shot. And after that, every day since then, he's been just, I check in with him, we talk and everything, and he's amazed because he says that he feels a lot more relaxed, a lot calmer, and he's sleeping a whole lot better.
Oh, that's beautiful. That is so beautiful because so many people are so sick, and the children have some anxiety. We had a couple that had a townhouse in Washington, D.C. They had an executive townhouse, and they said, we're getting ready to buy a larger home. They bought like a 6-bedroom house, and they called us to take the technology out of the old house and put it in the new house. And they said the reason why, they had been in the new house like 5 months, and the husband was like, he was kind of skeptical. He didn't really know if our technology really works. But their daughter started having anxiety attacks in this big mansion. And they called us and put the technology in, and almost immediately her anxiety resolved. And he said, I don't know what this technology is. It certainly doesn't make sense to me. But my daughter, because of my daughter, I believe in this technology. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, well, thank you for your time. I've got to get off this show tonight. It's been fabulous. Thank you for all that you shared. Thank you for all that you're doing. Remember, the 27th day of this week is the 90th birthday of Coretta Scott King. Keep her legacy alive. Keep hope alive. And go tell somebody that their house could be making them sick. Get their head off the wall and get it checked out. Until next Tuesday, this is Dr. A. I love and celebrate all of you. Thank you so much. Good evening.
Good night. Bye, Ada. Bye, Nathan.
Good night, everybody.
Mario.
Good night.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm you have called me. Heart's testing with your love.